Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dale and Keith, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. We kick off hour number two. Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline from the NBA bubble in Orlando, Florida, is Sports Illustrated NBA reporter Chris Mannix. Chris is brought to you by Star Market and the brand new Star Market at the Hub on Causeway, just outside the TD Garden. Hey, Chris, how are you?
What's going on, guys?
First question from me, did you have second thoughts about putting yourself in this position or no?
No second thoughts going into it. I mean, safety-wise, I mean, this is probably the safest place you could possibly be on the planet. And, you know, having covered the NBA for the last few months, you know, through Zoom calls with phone calls, text messages, I mean, you had to do something different. And this is, you know, I wouldn't call it a unique opportunity, but certainly with only, you know, 9 or 10 media members, reporters inside this this campus, you know, you're going to have a chance to do some things that the other people can't. And you know, that's kind of what you, in today's kind of media landscape, that those are rare opportunities. And I'm pretty giddy about it, actually.
What did you, or what have you thought of a lot of the players' reactions that they have taken to social media, whether it's J.R. Smith or Enes Kanter or Rajon Rondo? What did you think?
It's not a good look. Some of it, like, you know, the Rondo picture of, you know, is this Motel 6? I mean, give me a break. I mean, that's mm-hmm. It's a nice hotel room that they're staying in. It kind of makes, you know, NBA players look like dilettantes to a degree. I'm not a huge fan of everybody posting pictures of their food. I think that's kind of dumb. But it's not like you're not in white collar prison here. Like, it's you're in a hotel room. You get good food. You get as much, you know, water, drinks as you want. Like, it's just, it is what it is. I mean, the challenging part certainly is what I'm involved in right now, which is, you know, the media members that come down here, because they haven't been regularly tested like the players have been tested at their own facilities, we've got to do a hard 7-day quarantine. We are quite literally not allowed to leave our hotel room for the next 6 days. And, I can tell you, having completed day one, that's going to be problematic in about 4 or 5 days. I start climbing some walls.
So, Chris, from your perspective, obviously there's going to be opportunities to build relationships. You talked about you're one of the few in there. What is it going to be like moving forward for you as a media member? Are you going to be at all the games? Are you going to be Zoom calling interviews? Will you have actual direct contact with players for interviews? What's that process going to be like for you?
Yeah, there are two obvious upsides to being inside. One is that you can go to every practice and every shoot around and watch like you would every practice. Theoretically, you can get one-on-one interviews with players if you request them. They've got to be done uniquely. You can't just sidle up to a player and sit down next to him and do an interview. They've got to be set up where you're 6 feet apart and you know, wearing masks and all that goes into it. But you can get one-on-ones where on the outside you really can't. And the other thing is, you know, you guys can remember, I mean, it used to be media members sat on the floor, you know, for for games. Now, because of, you know, the need to put seats in those spots and make money off them, media members are often, you know, way up in the rafters at times covering games, or at least well off the floor. Now, in this situation, we're back on the floor. Not only are we on the floor, we're on the floor where you can hear everything. Like, there's not going to be any kind of, you know, ambient crowd noise, or maybe if there is manufactured crowd noise, it won't be that loud. You'll be able to hear player interactions, you know, coaching interactions, you know, all sorts of stuff that you couldn't get otherwise. And I think it's going to give us the ability to, you know, give readers a look into, you know, the what goes on in these games deeper than maybe we ever have before. So those are the two things that I think you substantively gain by being part of this experience.
We're talking to Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated and SI.com. He is in the NBA bubble in Orlando, Florida. Began yesterday and will be quarantined for the next 6 days, as he told us. There have been some smart aleck things written and said. Stephen A. Smith talked about it. There's an Instagram model who said she's been invited inside the bubble already. What kind of pressures will there be within the player community to not screw this thing up?
There's significant pressure, which doesn't mean that, quite frankly, that Stephen A. Smith is wrong. I don't think that, I mean, it wouldn't shock me if, you know, somebody tries to sneak somebody in or something goes on behind the scenes. But look, we're talking about, you know, in a lot of cases, you know, 25-year-old, you know, single guys that have never been locked in to this type of situation for very long. So would a scenario like that happening shock me? No, it wouldn't. I mean, I think there's certainly, you know, ongoing conversations with players about not, you know, screwing this up, as you said, making sure that you follow the rules to the best of your ability. You know, they've got, I think, like, basically ex-Army, you know, people in here to, like, monitor this type of stuff to make sure nobody's coming in and out of the bubble. So, you know, that's something that that they're watching pretty close. I think the most significant danger to the bubble to me is what happens in about a month. In about a month, they're going to presumably let friends and family come in under similar quarantine rules once the first round of the playoffs is over and you eliminate basically half the league. What happens then? Like, you have young kids maybe wandering around. You've got family members. They want to use the park. I mean, that to me represents the biggest threat to the bubble going forward, because right now I can tell you it's as close to airtight as you can possibly get. I mean, the testing procedures and the protocols they go through. I mean, I have to be tested here every single day, even though I'm not leaving my room at any point in time. Going forward, you have to be tested every single day. You have to fill out an online questionnaire that effectively tells you any symptoms you might have, take your temperature every day, take a blood oxygen level every single day. Like, this is pretty intense, the protocols that they're going through. So for right now, I think it's in pretty good shape. I just wonder, you know, once the family members start to come in and maybe there's some outside influences, is that problematic?
How are things going logistically right now? Because I think I read somewhere that the Celtics were late getting onto a court at one point because of their quarantine, and there was another time where they had to move courts, or like, just how are they figuring everything out right now as these teams are practicing?
It's very much still a work in progress. I mean, they have carved out basically 3-hour blocks for teams to practice. And look, for logistical reasons, sometimes they get on the court a little late. Sometimes they stay a little late. It screws up the team that's after it. And remember, after every team is done, they have to sanitize that court to make sure that, you know, everything is clean before the next team gets on there. So there are definitely some minor logistical hurdles that have to be run through. And look, every team here, for the most part, wants to practice as long as possible. I mean, these guys are getting their players on the court in 3-on-3 and 5-on-5 situations for the first time in almost 4 months. So, you know, they wanted to, you know, take every minute of it. Sometimes that can lead to a little bit of overlap and some problems with that side of it. But, you know, these are minor issues right now that teams are dealing with, and nothing, I think, that is significant.
Chris, beyond the coronavirus and return to play rules in that area, obviously one of the discussions was, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement, the social justice, and, you know, the players' ability to wear messages on the back of their shirts. And we've already seen Anthony Davis, LeBron, some other names opt out of that program. They're going with their traditional names. Is that going to be an issue throughout this? Is that something that players are talking about? Is that still an agenda for some of these guys, the Black Lives Matter movement and the social justice reform?
Well, it absolutely is for a vast majority of players. I mean, LeBron opted out of wearing something different than his name on the back of his jersey, but in every Zoom interview I've seen him do so far, he's wearing his More Than an Athlete hat. And, you know, as has been reported before, I mean, he's got this this voting movement that he's doing that is going to basically lead up to the November election. He'll be pushing that pretty significantly over the next few months. So it's top of mind for most, if not all, of the NBA players here. Now, the issue that the league would probably like to revisit if they could, if they go back in time, is that they probably should have involved more people in the process of choosing what to wear on these jerseys. I mean, the union was involved. Like, this wasn't a unilateral league decision. The union was involved every step of the way in deciding what would be appropriate to wear on the backs of the uniform. This wasn't Adam Silver sitting in his office going, that sounds good, that sounds good, that sounds good. This was Michelle Roberts, Chris Paul. I mean, people involved in this process on the union side pretty heavily. So they, I think if they could go back, though, they probably would have put it out to more of the rank and file, gotten LeBron more involved. You heard, you know, Jaylen Brown had reservations. Mike Scott with the 76ers had some reservations. So I think they would have done some things a little bit differently. But, you know, the player's going to find their way to push this narrative as far as they possibly can, because it's important. And they want to make sure that the social justice movement doesn't get lost in conversations about Rajon Rondo's thumb injury or, you know, Ben Simmons' back and all the things that go into covering a basketball season. Well, one thing I would say, too, about the – yeah, there's so much talk about, like, you know, why can't players say what they want about Hong Kong and China? To my knowledge, and I've asked this from a number of different people, not one player is asked to wear something like that on his jersey. Not one player is asked to wear, like, Free Hong Kong on the back of his jersey. Not to say that there aren't people that feel that way within the NBA. There obviously are. But it's disingenuous to say that players are being prevented from wearing something about China when, again, to my knowledge, no one is asked to actually do that.
In the NHL, there is a 5 p.m. deadline today for players who elect to opt out. Stephen Kampfer of the Bruins is the only Bruins player to this point who has elected to opt out of returning. In the NBA, is the assumption that if you got on the plane and flew to the bubble, you're in, or can players still opt out?
They can still opt out. The NBA sent a deadline, if you want to call it that, for back in, I believe it was June 24th, and that deadline came and went, and players were still, you know, opting in and out at that time. Players were strongly considering whether or not to play. As recently as a few days ago, you know, role players that I know who are going back and forth on this issue for myriad reasons. I mean, players are not speaking with one voice on this issue. It's, you know, personal reasons, social justice reasons, health reasons. There are a lot of things to consider as they prepare to quarantine themselves for a number of months. But yeah, I think where we're at right now, as we're, you know, into training camp and what, about a week to 10 days away from starting scrimmages, I think the guys that are here, or at least are here for the foreseeable future. I don't expect there to be any further opt-outs from the NBA rank and file.
I like the Celtics' chances in the Eastern Conference, but then I heard that Kemba Walker is going to start on a minutes restriction because of his knee injury, which, again, I mean, it's been 4 months since we've seen basketball, and I would have thought a lot of the injuries would have certainly improved in 4 months. Is that more just because there hasn't been action for so long, or does it speak to the severity of his injury?
No, Rich, I think that's it's the first part of it. I think it's Kemba's been on his own for so long and hasn't, you know, nobody's played 5-on-5, but I think with that type of injury, that was a nagging injury that just lingered for so long, they want to make sure there's no re-aggravation there. So he'll be on a minutes restriction, I would guess, for maybe the first 4 or 5 games. But, you know, once we get to the tail end of the regular season, certainly into the playoffs, you're going to see Kemba Walker, you know, just ready to roll, like 35, 40 minutes a game if he has to. It would take a re-aggravation of that injury to force Kemba out of that type of minutes load, and I just don't see it happening. I think he's going to be, you know, just fine once they get through the first 4 or 5 games of the season.
Certainly fans probably don't know exactly what to expect from their team, you know, given this unprecedented layoff and restart here. Are you getting the feeling that coaches and players feel the same way? Is there some uncertainty that, you know, the Bucks can just pick up where they left off, or did it benefit one team and maybe hurt another team? Is there an unknown factor here within the players and coaches themselves?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, nobody has any idea what to expect. I mean, coaches are just getting, as we speak, really, a first, second, and third look at what their teams are going to be able to do, or what their players look like after a long layoff. I mean, it's you only get snippets right now from team released videos, but you know, you look at Carmelo Anthony, looks like he lost 20 pounds during this break. Rajon Rondo looked like the Incredible Hulk before he got injured last night. You know, guys are looking different, playing different, and once you see them start to get into scrimmages, you're going to see what kind of basketball condition they're in. But look, I would be shocked. Put this, I would be shocked if this won't shock in the playoffs. We get Bucks versus Lakers. I don't believe it. I just think too much has changed and too much can change over the next month or so that it just makes it impossible not to expect something completely unpredictable. Maybe it's like the 99 lockout where you had the Knicks and 8 seed go all the way to the NBA Finals. Maybe you have like a team like the Portland Trailblazers, you know, shock somebody in the first round and make a run, you know, all the way to the finals. I just think something loopy is going to happen because this is not what the NBA left off with. This should not be considered, you know, where the teams were in mid-March. This is an entirely different thing in a lot of cases with entirely different players. When you look at the Blazers having a new front court, Ben Simmons back in Philadelphia. I mean, this is just a totally different thing. It's going to, I think, have some wacky results.
Spurs head coach Greg Popovich is 71. Rockets head coach Mike D'Antoni is 68. Lakers assistant coach Lionel Hollins is 66. Are there legitimate concerns about these older coaches in the NBA being in the danger zone here?
There are legitimate concerns. I believe Lionel Hollins already opted out. I don't think he's going to be in LA or he's in Orlando with the team. Mike D'Antoni has said he's going to wear a mask on the sidelines. I'm not entirely sure what Pop's going to do, but either way, it's something that's closely monitored, you know, by the league. I mean, these men are in, you know, the kind of that warning area, and as safe as the league has been in keeping the coronavirus out of the bubble, and will continue to be as diligent as they continue to be. I mean, the worst case scenario is someone like that getting infected and suffering severe health consequences. Now, there's been a weird pushback from the Coaches Association who see this idea of whether it's D'Antoni or Alvin Gentry or Popovich wearing masks as potentially being detrimental to their ability to get jobs in the future. Like, I don't know what they think, whether they think the teams are going to like forget that Mike D'Antoni's almost 70. I don't really understand that rationale, but there's been some pushback about, you know, coaches being forced to wear masks or coaches being, you know, kind of quarantined differently during this experience. So, you know, the NBA, I think, would like to do more with these at-risk coaches that are part of this process. But the Coaches Association and Warren Legarry, who's a coaching agent to many of these men, have pushed back pretty hard on that, and they'll try to limit anything different that's done for them throughout this entire process.
One of the biggest stories in the NBA over the weekend was actually the suspension of Adrian Wojnarowski and then the response by a number of the players and everything else that happened there. I don't want to put you in a weird spot, but what did you think of everything that went down with Woj?
You know, I know Adrian probably regrets it because he's one of the best people I know, and that he, in sending something like that, it just doesn't line up with the person that he is. I just found it more, you know, reprehensible how it was taken and spun and made into this sort of, you know, ESPN is all left wing sort of talking point. I mean, you're a senator from Missouri and you're basically tagging another website on your tweet to try to kind of rile up the mob. I don't understand that at all. I mean, Adrian did what he should have done after the fact. He apologized. He reached out to the senator's office. My understanding is he hasn't been able to reach anyone over there. It seems like the senator would prefer to, you know, just, you know, use the media to drum up support for whatever it is he wants to drum up support for. But as I said at the beginning, guys, there's like, they're asking for something that hasn't been asked for. Like, as far as I know, no player or coach or anybody has asked to, you know, wear Free Hong Kong on their jersey or do anything like that. So, you know, I understand that, you know, what's happening over in China is reprehensible. What's happening in Hong Kong right now is reprehensible, but I don't understand why players are necessarily being asked to take issue with something that doesn't resonate with them as much as the Black Lives Matter movement does. As much as police officers killing black men, as much as that registers with them, I think there's a real disingenuousness to what's going on right now when it comes to some of the stuff that happened the last couple of days.
Chris, you used the word loopy earlier, that you almost expect something loopy to happen in the bubble and with this postseason run. Would you consider the Celtics winning the title loopy?
Not really. I mean, they're that good. I mean, they were third seed when the thing stopped, and you've got a whole bunch of scores on that mix. I think they're, I think they're a co-favorite to all this, and with like four or five other teams that are at the top of the pile. I'm just wondering, when we get into these scrimmages, like, who is just awful? Like, who is just looks like they haven't played basketball? Like, right now, all you hear are good things. I've yet to hear one negative thing about a player coming back. It's not like, well, Jason Tatum hasn't shot the ball in 2 months, but, here's Enes Kanter saying he looks like he's better than he was before. Tatum saying, I'm stronger than I was when I got back. I worked my body during the lockout, or during the work stoppage. Like, it's all positive right now. At some point, there's going to be negatives. At some point, you're going to see guys that just aren't in shape, whose shooting percentages plummet. I mean, there's going to be, I think the shooting percentages in this playoffs are going to be awful. I think they're going to be college basketball level. But my opinion on college basketball is that sucks from top to bottom. Like, it's going to be bad, bad shooting in these NBA playoffs. And I think that's going to play well for teams that are able to score on the inside, that have great defenses, that have interior presences on both ends of the floor. Like, that's something to watch closely as we move forward. Like, how teams are able to manufacture offense when those 3-point shots just aren't falling, because shooting is a perishable skill. Like, if you haven't shot the ball for 3 or 4 months, you're not just going to get it back in the span of 3 or 4 weeks. I think it's going to take much longer for some of these guys to regain the skills that they lost during this time off.
Does that hurt a team like the Celtics that has had rebounding issues back when they were still playing basketball?
I think it does. I mean, I think that, not only that, but they are a perimeter-oriented team. I mean, their greatest strength comes with Tatum and Walker and Brown and guys on the outside. So I think that they're going to have to be, not to get too deep in the weeds, but far more aggressive at paint scoring, far better at gang rebounding. I mean, I've said this before and written it. I think Philadelphia is sitting pretty right now. I mean, Philadelphia in mid-March, I mean, they were a disaster. I mean, they were playing out the string. Ben Simmons was done. Brett Brown had 1 foot out the door. Maybe Elton Brand, the GM, was going to get fired. And now here they are. Ben Simmons is back, and the pictures, looks like a monster out there. And they're the team that couldn't shoot threes anyway. So now, everybody else is kind of playing maybe on their playing field. They've got a great defense, 3 lockdown defenders with Simmons, Embiid, and Josh Richardson, and an ability to score high percentage shots through Embiid in the low post. I mean, I look at Philly. I mean, I don't know how much maneuvering there's going to be done for that opening or those opening round playoff spots. But if you're Boston, you want to make sure you get nothing to do with them. You want Indiana. You want Brooklyn if you can get your hands on them, or whatever the artist formerly known as Brooklyn, right, at this point. You want Orlando at this point. I mean, you want anybody but the Philadelphia 76ers in that first round.
Chris, it was fun talking to you. Stay healthy down there in Orlando as best you can, and we'll look forward to reading your stuff.
Good luck the next few days, too, Chris. That's 5-6 days. Good luck.
Yeah, if you need me, I'll be right here.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris.
All right.
That is Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated and SI.com. He is in the bubble, but he's literally in his own self-bubble for the next 6 days.
Man, 7 days in one room without leaving. It
cannot leave the room.
It does sound like my dream, actually. I would have no problem. I got internet. I can bring my PlayStation.
Rich calls that vacation.
Yeah, that sounds like a treat. They bring you your food. What? No, he didn't say
what?
That.
Hello?
He didn't say that.
Surmise.
There's no
Who
alcohol
knows?
Testing, just coronavirus testing.
Okay.
He'll be fine. Yeah, all the booze you want. You know what? Not that bad. Maybe he's going to do all right.
He talked a little bit, and Rich brought up the Adrian Wojnarowski story. We'll discuss that further when we come back in just a moment. We'll also get back to your calls. 617-779-7937.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Ready for more?
Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Adrian probably regrets it. I just found it more, you know, reprehensible how it was taken and spun and made into this ESPN is all left-wing sort of talking point. I mean, you're a senator from Missouri. You're basically tagging another website on your tweet to try to kind of rile up the mob. I don't understand that at all. I mean, Adrian did what he should have after the fact. He apologized. He reached out to the senator's office. My understanding is he hasn't been able to reach anyone over there. It seems like the senator would prefer to use the media to drum up support for whatever it is you want to drum up support for.
Safe to say that Adrian Wojnarowski is probably the most prominent basketball reporter in the country, isn't it?
100%.
Yes.
He's number one.
He's the guy. He was responding to an email sent out by the press office of Senator Josh Hawley, a Republican from Missouri. The senator was making critical statements about the NBA's relationship with China. After this was sent, this email, by the way, was sent to a number of journalists, criticized the NBA for, quote, kowtowing to Beijing, unquote, and also criticizing the NBA for allowing players to wear social justice messages on their jerseys during the upcoming restart of the NBA season. Adrian Wojnarowski responded to the email with two simple words. The second one was you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pretty clear where he stood on that.
And that was it.
Yeah.
ESPN almost immediately said that it was completely unacceptable behavior. We do not condone it. Inexcusable for anyone working for ESPN to respond in the way Adrian did to Senator Hawley. Adrian Wojnarowski put out a tweet of his own. It's going to be the last tweet you read from him for a couple of weeks. Said, I was disrespectful. I made a regrettable mistake. I'm sorry for the way I handled myself. And I'm reaching out immediately to Senator Hawley to apologize directly. I also need to apologize to my ESPN colleagues because I know my actions were unacceptable and should not reflect on any of them. ESPN has not confirmed this, but the Washington Post has reported he's been suspended for from 1 to 2 weeks. He was supposed to be going to the bubble. In fact, he had said on a podcast he had already sent stuff down there in anticipation of going down. He will apparently now not be going to the bubble, at least not right away, and will not be allowed to tweet or report for a 1 to 2 week period.
Serious question. I was on vacation, so I haven't followed this quite as closely as maybe I should have.
Good, glad you're here.
Is there any chance he was intoxicated for his reply?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know him very well. It felt like, this is what I want to say, but I'm not going to say it. Oh, I hit send.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
It was really dumb.
Really, really. And I have to think he's smarter than that.
Why does he need to apologize? Why does he need to apologize
because
for this?
Because you can't say to a U.S. senator, bleep you.
Why not?
As a professional, you shouldn't say it to anybody, though. Like,
but why?
That's never the response
I'm not trying to be smart.
He is representative of ESPN, and ESPN says, no, I'm not. Our employee is not going to, as a representative of our organization, say that to a U.S.
senator.
So
it's more for ESPN, right?
I just think as a professional,
but like,
there's no value in that response.
Yeah, but it kind of speaks from the heart, and I think that's how he felt, and I think what the guy was asking for.
Doesn't he report on the NBA? It sounded in that like he was defending the NBA.
Yeah, a little bit. Maybe he does both. I mean, you've been working for the NBA for so long, maybe you do start to defend the NBA a little bit. But
he doesn't work for the NBA.
What the senator was... No, but I'm saying, but he could be working with the NBA,
yeah.
I guess, and you know, I'm sure he does defend it a bit. But the senator was asking, he's like, oh, you guys are only pro Black Lives Matter. How come? What about all these other issues? And as Mannix was telling us, well, that's what's really important right now to a lot of these players.
To these guys.
The league hasn't shut down anything else. So if players did want to speak out for other issues, choose whatever they are, I don't know. It feels like there's probably a pretty good opportunity. They would say, okay.
Right.
Right? Like, the league seems to be pretty open-minded compared to a lot of other leagues or organizations or businesses even.
All right, so, just as an example, if you send out this two-word email to, you know, Senator Markey, for the lack of a better name, you responded to Senator Markey in that way.
Yeah.
Would you expect Entercom would be okay with that?
I guess not. But I
no,
mean,
no, they wouldn't
it,
be.
What is it? Does he send it to my personal email or does he send it to my work email? Is there semantics there?
Semantics.
Well, there is
probably
semantics.
Worse on a
it's
on a
probably worse with
email.
The at WEI.com.
Right.
But if
either
it's
way,
at my
you
own,
represent the organization. Whatever organization it is, you
yeah,
work for it, you
I
represent
guess that,
it.
But I just feel like just like everybody doesn't deserve your respect necessarily. Like, there are some people like you don't need to.
No,
respect.
You don't
ignore
have
it.
To respect them,
so
right. But,
it.
You,
right.
but you can't you yeah. can't disrespect him in this way.
Yeah,
you don't have to respect them.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, we've talked about this. You start to reply to a tweet or something, and then you just delete.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, back
yeah,
it up.
Yeah.
I don't need to send this. It's Saturday night.
But I just
I had
felt
two
like,
beers.
And then he's apologizing. You're like, you don't even mean it, and
right.
I don't blame you. You don't mean it. That you. What we saw the first time around is how you feel.
Sure.
You unfortunately, because of who you work for, they're the ones that are going to have to, you know, slap you on the wrist here a little bit. You're out for a couple of weeks, and then you'll be back. And oh, by the way. More backing of him. You know, I think the whole league loves him.
Sure.
You saw LeBron with the free Woj. Free
yeah.
Woj was trending for a while. So he's still going to get a million scoops outside of the bubble just because all these guys love him more now.
And the trouble is he can't report any of them for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, but
no,
couldn't
I know.
He go down
he
there
can't
and
tweet?
No, it's a good point. But he'll have a whole bunch saved in his drafts. And then as soon as the suspension is up.
Like Schefter on free agency night.
Yeah.
Couldn't he go down there, though? And
yeah,
just
yeah.
quarantine? Oh, yeah, he's suspended. We're going to suspend him in a hotel room in Florida.
Yeah, I don't
know.
No,
I don't
ESPN
know.
Won't let him go.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. Well, let him get his... If you're going to have to quarantine and miss a week, you
I
might as
mean,
well double
about,
up on this.
What happened to free speech? You know, you can't tell someone F you
no,
anymore?
But you... Yes, and your employer can tell you F you and go away.
Right.
Everybody has a boss.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah,
everybody
I guess,
can get told F you by somebody.
I guess
he has
right.
the right to tell the
I
senator,
right.
and then his employer says no F you,
but
and
I
you're
think
suspended.
I think it should be understood that Woj doesn't speak for every ESPN employee. There are so many ESPN employees, just like I don't speak for everybody at Entercom.
Thank
so if
God.
I say exactly, but like I don't read that. I'm like, oh my God, ESPN told Senator what's his name to F off. No. Woj did.
But you know that's
it
how it works,
thing.
Right?
Yeah, unfortunately.
If you do something really dumb,
yeah.
WEEI
gets
host,
credited
it doesn't
it.
Actually, it may not even say your name because no one in, no. in Portland,
correct.
Oregon knows your name.
Right.
WEEI host says
yeah.
X.
No, you're right.
You represent the brand, the company, the name, the organization.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was not surprised ESPN suspended him.
And, no.
And I do honestly think, I'm just guessing here, I haven't talked to him. I think Woj is sorry he did it. I think he apologized because he felt he should, not because he had to. I'm sure at some point it's almost like Chris said, he regretted that he did it. He regretted that he hit sent. I think the minute he sent it.
Well, then you could tell the senator got exactly what he wanted out of it
yes.
too.
Yes,
because then he
absolutely.
Tweets it out. And you're like, all right, this guy wins now.
And that's
like,
part of the problem
to get it.
Too.
Right.
Be smarter. Be better. Like, don't fall into his trap. Mm. Don't lower the bar, raise the bar, whatever you want, what cliche you want to use. He fell into the, he took the bait, right? He took the bait and blew it up.
Yeah, unfortunately.
He did, unfortunately, do something that the corporate entity couldn't allow. In the same way, Entercom probably wouldn't allow it if I did it or
mm-hmm.
or Andy did it. I mean, my guess is there are limits to how far you can go with responding to people, and that probably, especially a U.S. senator, is over those lines.
And especially
that's
if you
That's why you
are,
need to work for yourself. If Joe Rogan said that, nobody's
right.
nobody's
No, in all seriousness, right.
Yeah,
or
right.
or maybe even a different company.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
when you're part of the yeah. ESPN Disney umbrella,
not
like,
gonna happen. Not
for
gonna
years,
fly.
They had just so many rules. I feel like they've loosened up on some of their rules recently. We talked about it with the documentary, with The
yeah.
Last Dance, when all of a sudden they're dropping F-bombs
they're
on ESPN stations.
Yeah.
Maybe they've loosened a little, but they're still that Disney umbrella.
But also, let's face it, it's not the end of the world. 2 weeks, games don't start until what
right.
is it? So he'll be back right before the
yeah.
game starts. So,
what
yeah.
I don't know is whether he will be allowed to enter the bubble at that point. In other words, did you have to be there like Chris is now?
Oh, right.
right.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. 2 weeks from now, well, you'd think if they let anybody, it would be Woj.
Yeah,
and as
ugly
he said,
Anna.
Yeah, hurt that on the same flight.
You know, as he said in on a podcast, in anticipation of being in the bubble, he sent a bunch of stuff down there already.
Yeah,
right. And but Rich is right. The NBA cred, street cred that he got for this,
it
may not matter
now.
If he's in the bubble.
Right. It's
maybe everybody's zooming with him or whatever because they appreciate his gesture.
Yeah, everybody's number in the entire league, so I'm sure he's texting with every single guy. So he'll in 2 weeks, as soon as it's up, he'll still be the most.
There'll be bombs.
Right.
They're coming.
Mm-hmm.
F-bombs.
Does it now give people like Chris and others an open Shams Charania is
popping
champagne right now.
I didn't know how many they were going to let in, but I was thinking this when they first announced what the plan was going to be, is that if you're a young basketball reporter and you could get yourself inside the bubble, you might emerge as the next Woj.
Yes.
Because you have an opportunity to get so many relationships, be at all the games in the front row, like Chris was saying, be at all the shoot-arounds. You have nothing else to do in there, so you might as well be constantly getting contacts and talking to people, and they don't have a whole lot of other stuff to do either. So, and maybe it's just going to be the guys that we already know. Like, it's going to be Mannix. He's going to have more scoops, and Shams is going to have more scoops. But
no, there'll be guys.
There'll be a couple other guys
careers
that emerge from this.
Oh, yeah. And you will, in like 5 years, look back and how did this guy become big? Oh, yeah.
100%.
Sort of like Jeff Darlington. We talked about it when he kind of became the Brady insider, and then you use that to elevate your stature. There'll probably be some team guys potentially. You know, team website guys or guys you've really never heard of that are 22.
But they were there.
They're interns. They're something, and they made a relationship with this player. They went fishing with this guy because fishing is apparently a big thing down there. And all of a sudden, boom, they're an insider.
Do you guys know the answer to this? I know that in the NHL when they put together their protocol, each team had to bring a social media presence to the hub city with them.
Yeah.
Does the NBA have that rule? Does each team have to have
each player on the team is their own social media presence?
True.
I don't know.
I don't know for sure, but
from the thing, but
yes,
like all the guys in the league are on it all the time. So
that's such
that
a
might
huge
be enough
part now of everything, especially you know him talking about the continued focus on the social justice side of things as they return to play.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I was really interested looking through the list of the messages you're allowed to have. You guys read the list, the back of the jersey?
No,
Black Lives.
I did, yeah.
One of the ones that I didn't explain this to me, Dale, group economics.
I didn't get that one. I mean,
I didn't at all. Like, I don't.
I mean, if you read through the list of approved names for the back of the jersey, most of them, you know, you say, oh, okay, I get that one.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
You know, say her name. Okay, I get it. I understand.
Right. Vote.
Vote. I mean, that one that one's a little too deep for me.
And Chris sort of alluded to the fact that maybe there's some regret that the process wasn't opened up to more contributors from the player side,
right. You know,
maybe veteran players or a panel of veterans or leadership, whatever. Because there were some in there that were obvious, as Dale said, and you know, what was the limit? Could you have gone to more of them? I also think there's some interesting aspect to, you know, LeBron can opt out and Anthony Davis can opt out. What if a white player opted out? Would there be a racial layer too? Would you be seen a certain way?
Maybe.
And I know Kyle Korver is wearing, I think, Black Lives Matter on his jersey. But it's an interesting, and again, I believe the number is 17 have opted out this far, and not everybody has given their answer as to exactly what they're going to wear.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We will get right back to the calls with you guys in a couple of minutes. And I hate to break the news to both Andy and Rich, you know, college football athletes, fine college football or college athletes in their own right. But another league has apparently pulled the plug on fall sports. We'll give you that update. We'll get back to your calls. It's Dale and Keith and Andy Hart's in the house, Sports Radio WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And
sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What the bleep is wrong with you people?
Now back to Dale and Keith.
There he is!
Middays 10 to 2
on WEEI.
As we get back to your calls, real quickly here, just an update. It started with NESCAC. It followed with the Ivy League. According to ProFootballTalk.com, the Patriot League is about to pull the plug on all fall sports. The ACC had a virtual football kickoff media event scheduled for 3 days next week. That has been postponed until further notice. The Big Ten commissioner said he's starting to have serious concerns about whether football will be able to be played in the fall. It sort of feels more and more like the walls are closing in on college sports for this fall season.
Yeah, and we've talked a lot about this, that they face more challenges than anyone because of
100%.
So many different things. And I kind of laughed off a little bit when Kirk Herbstreit, I think it was like March 26th.
Oh, he said that early.
Right?
Yeah.
And it was
like
we were in the first 10 days of the shutdown. And, well, it might come.
He may be
to
proven
fruition.
Right. And I do wonder what a spring type of football season could look like. And then the issue that you're going to run into pretty quickly would be all the guys that are probably projected first round picks say, nope.
Right.
I'm out. And so now listen, any college football is better than no college football, but if you remove the 25 best players, it takes some of the excitement out of it.
Yeah,
you know?
And who knows what the schedule looks like if some teams
probably
try to play in the fall
conference
and others
oh,
go
yeah.
right to the spring. And
yeah, how do you
know,
do
how
that?
Does that affect different things? Yeah, I mean, I'm with Rich. Any football you can get is fun, but you know, I was reading a story this morning on Think the Athletic talking to agents. There's a lot of agents that think we're less than a month away or around a month away, I forgot the exact, that a lot of top prospects are going to announce they've left school, they've left the team, they've signed with an agent, and they've begun preparing for their NFL career, that they'll be, you know, getting ready for the combine. And then, you know, who makes that decision?
Like, is the NFL draft still going to be in April?
Well, they've already, the report was they asked them to bump it back. Some college personnel have asked them to bump it back, and the NFL had no interest in doing that.
So if they're keeping it in April, you think Trevor Lawrence is going to be playing in May?
Be pretty
Clemson.
Cool if he had a game like the same night that he was drafted or whatever. Be a whole different world.
I just
announce it on the scoreboard.
I know it'd be cool,
Trevor
but
Lawrence is
there's
not
no
one
chance.
Overall.
Hand him the jersey, running onto the field.
It'd be pretty sick.
No, there's no jersey swaps. I don't know if you heard.
Be like Dion, then he can fly to the facility and you know have a press conference after his game.
It could be like that, but it won't be.
It won't be. In all likelihood, I don't know what's going to happen.
I don't know. Either.
I was going to try to say something like magnanimous, but what the hell are we talking about? Who knows?
Who knows is right.
Who the hell knows?
Right. All right, back to the call, 617-779-7937. Eddie's calling on the cell phone. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, doing
hey,
great.
You know, I hate to burst the NBA's bubble, no pun intended. But
I get it.
I was down there last week, and I don't go anywhere without wearing a KN95 mask. I'm in and out of the hospitals in Boston. I was shocked that only about 20% of the people I saw down there were wearing masks. The service people wear them all the time when you're looking. When you're not looking, they take them off. So with that being said, I heard the interview with, what's his name, Mannix?
Chris Mannix.
And he said he's in the safest place on earth. My God almighty, he might be in the most unsafest place on earth. I mean, the reason why I say that, he thinks he's in a bubble. And in one aspect he is, but the employees are not. The employees are going home. They're going to their families. And the people in that area, I know because I was there. I was in Orlando. I was up through the whole area. They don't wear masks. And I think that's the risk they have. And then the discipline. If these guys don't have discipline, all it's going to take is one person. And again, if the NBA did the right thing, you're going to do it in the right place. Maybe you do this in a place in Boston where they're getting 200 new cases a day, not 15,000 cases. So I hope Mr. Manick stays in his room. I hope he doesn't let anybody in there, because if he does, it could be a very, very, very long trip for him.
But yeah, but I don't think – I mean, I don't know where you'd put it in Boston. Like, that's the thing is, like, this private property in Disney, outside –
I mean, this is probably the safest place you could possibly be on the planet.
Yeah, it's like in the Walking Dead season 2 when they're in the prison. Outside of the prison, it's zombies everywhere. But inside the prison, it was safe for a while until the zombies got in.
I thought that there was a question we all had about the Disney bubble, which had to do with service people, you know, wait staff, housekeeping staff. Are they being tested? When the NHL plan came out, they said everyone is getting tested every day. The bus drivers, the service people, the wait staff, everybody. Do we know that that's the case? Because they're all going home at night. Unlike the players and the coaches, the people who work in the hotel are all leaving at the end of the day and going home.
Are we
and
sure about
going
that?
Home.
Yeah, I'm not sure. And I mean, I'll take Chris's word for it. Like, he says it's the safest place. The testing is through the chart or off the charts. And maybe it's not for every single person that's working in there, but maybe there's not a ton of interaction. Like, I don't like he seemed to make it sound like the guys there. People covering the sport, playing it, coaching it, like they are as protected as you could possibly be.
And you can't just flippantly move it. Like, this has been planned for months. So when you planned it, it seemed like a good idea.
Right.
Okay, so condition. So now I'm just going to.
I thought it was a great idea at the time.
Yeah. But back when Boston was a hot spot, they're planning else. So now we're going to move it to Boston.
But they're also
you can't
not,
do that. You can't just move hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of players and games and facilities and travel.
But Eddie
and
makes
food
it sound like just because it's in Florida, it's bad. It's like these guys are at the beach or they're at a bar in Miami. Like, they're not. They're in like an isolated area.
Well,
if they stay there, yes.
But that's the same thing with every one of these bubbles, right? Like, even in I know in Toronto and Edmonton, there are less cases than there are in Florida. But if people start coming in and out of the place, it only takes the one person, right? And they're flying in from all over the world because that's where they're from. And then they get there and then people go to visit them or whatever.
Look at what happened here the first time by the Biogen conference, right?
Yeah,
it started and it just blew up from there. Yeah. Well, that could happen. You say, oh, you know what? We can't do Florida, so let's move it to Minneapolis. It's going to be safe. And then some Biogen conference happens 2 weeks before.
Right.
And by the time we arrive in Minneapolis, they're a hot spot. Right.
I got $7.794 million burning a hole in my pocket. Woo-hoo! We're going to try to figure out how to spend it when we come back. Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart, Sports Radio WEEI.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.